RadioInfluence.com.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
And welcome into another edition of the Landry Football Podcast, the Tuesday, September 12th edition. A lot of things to get to today. Obviously, a full reaction of college football in the NFL, so we're going to focus on that as to what we saw. I want to remind you that, obviously, for the detailed film room breakdowns, you want to go to LandryFootball.com. Check it out. Come a member. See what we do. We've got some free content, but the film room breakdowns will give you a viewpoint from a coaching and scouting standpoint of how we evaluate these players, teams, where these teams are going. But we like to get into some overview in a talk show form that we do here on this podcast. Want to first go over a couple of things before we get right into football. Obviously, we have been on a mission to try to help the folks in Texas due to the storms. We're going to do the same thing, of course, to the folks in Florida. Folks, it's a little thing we're trying to do. It's not much, but it's all we can do. And I know it's something that most of you listening out there, we all wish we could do more to help. But having been involved in the floods in Louisiana last year, we realize every $10, $15, $20 helps. It really does. So what we are doing is we are taking 50% of our subscription and we're putting that into supplies that are going directly to the shelters to help the folks in Texas. And now we're going to be doubling up and putting it in for the folks in Florida. So we absolutely could use your help, and it's certainly up to you, of course. But what we're trying to provide for you is something for your football season that you will enjoy all year round, the football season, the draft season, recruiting season. We think we'll enjoy and educate and improve your football viewing pleasure and enjoyment during the season and give you something to look forward to. We also would be remiss if we didn't mention yesterday was the 16th anniversary of 9/11. And so we want to really give a shout out to all the first responders that are so much a part of what we do on a daily basis. They're the first ones to try to get there and help folks and put themselves in harm's way. So bless them for all that they do for us. But we are a football show, and that's what we're going to get to, and we're going to talk with them. And it was an interesting week in college football. I want to start there. And it had some great games, but I kind of want to go as they kind of came off the board and kind of just touch briefly a little bit more on some of the games that were the bigger games. But thought Michigan showed a little bit of improvement on offense against Cincinnati, but had some issues. Iowa always has a hard time against Iowa State. But in looking at the game, they really came through in the clutch when they needed to. But this is a game that Iowa State will struggle that they to the fact that they couldn't get it done. West Virginia continues to improve and continues to impress me. East Carolina is really gone in the dumps, and what an awful job that administration did. Making a change and blowing up a program that a couple of years ago I think was headed in the right direction, and now it's really in a bad way, and they're really getting bad, from a organization standpoint. They're poorly prepared. The talent level is not very good. Just frustrating to see a good young program like that was on the rise up. But when you have bad administrators, it can ruin anything, and that's exactly what they've done to that program. Northwestern continues to struggle. Duke handling it to them. Lamar Jackson, what a great performance. This kid's a special athlete, and as I study him more and more, and everyone's intrigued and wanting to know what type of a pro prospect is he. I'm not so sure that he's not a little bit ahead of where Michael Vick was when he came out. And I think this guy's got a lot of ability. He's got to grow into his body. He's got to become a little stronger. He can throw the football. He's not a tremendously accurate passer yet, but he's getting better. And you see him make plays within the pocket. But, you know, he is a guy that's outside the pocket is very, very difficult. And he will be a polarizing topic when he comes out in the draft and we're dealing with him. There's some that are going to be enamored by him, some that are going to be a little concerned about his pocket awareness and presence and his passing skills. But great performance, just completely dominated North Carolina. We'll get into the breakdown of the Louisville-Clemson game this week. It's one of our feature games that we're going to break down on LandryFootball.com, and we'll talk a little bit about that here as we go along. Alabama, I thought, showed some improvements. Jalen Hurts ran the football well. They still got some ways to go in the passing game. But I saw some improvements there. Defensively, they didn't play as dominant as they normally do. I thought Fresno State gave them some looks, which I call it great teachable moments in a game that you win, and everyone will look and say, boy, they dominated Fresno State. I look at it and say, boy, what a great teaching opportunity, because they got challenged in some ways schematically, even though they were able to overcome it. So as we go forward, Alabama's got Colorado State, another chance to get better. And this Alabama team will, because of their nature of how they're coached, they'll get better and better as the year goes along. Thought Texas showed market improvement. Yes, it was San Jose State, but you could see Tom Herman had those guys prepared. I thought they did a really good job moving the football on offense. Defensively, they didn't get much resistance, and that was an issue, no question. Sam Esslinger, the freshman quarterback, I thought did a really nice job moving that team, and so it was a good performance by them. We'll see where they go as they got USC this week. Big challenge against a very good team. I don't think they match up all that well, but I'm very curious to see, you know, the attitude, the fire in which they play in this game. Penn State's just so much better than Pitt this year. This is an explosive offense. I think that Pitt has struggled being able to move the football and punching the ball into the red zone. In this Pitt, this Pitt defense struggled to play in space against Penn State. I thought Penn State, while they continue to look great on offense, you know, defensively they've shown some strides. And again, I want to see them play a good offense, but this is a very good Penn State team that in the early part of the season, they're definitely the best looking team of the Big Ten, with Ohio State struggles on offense, Michigan struggles on offense. We'll see how it plays out during the year, but right now it's a pretty good look. Very disappointed in how poorly Arkansas continues to look, particularly early in the season. When I look at this Arkansas team, I see a team that offensively, they have no passing attack. They have no guys with ability to get open against coverage, and they don't have the ability to run the football and control the line of scrimmage like they have done so in the past. So it's a problem. And defensively, they have not been very effective getting the type of athletes that can match up against good offenses, which TCU, while they did not play their best game, certainly are a better offensive team than Arkansas right now is able to handle. Their ability to make plays outside the pocket, Arkansas's ability to cover and rush the passer, is just not there at a high level. And I know that when Brett Bielema got the job, came over from Wisconsin, one of his things that he wanted to do was build a program that was a lot like LSU and Alabama in terms of physical, run the football, really good defense. And quite frankly, while he has had some success running the football and getting good backs and getting good offensive line play at times during his tenure, he has not recruited the type of defensive talent that's anywhere in the stratosphere of where LSU and Alabama is. And this is why the program continues to be a disappointment. And it is going to be interesting to see how this season develops and plays out. But I would say that while Brett will get another year, there's a lot of frustration as to whether he's the guy that can take this program to the next level. So while we are looking at problems at Texas A&M and Arkansas, and we'll touch a little bit on Auburn in a little bit, let's keep an eye out on the Arkansas program and where that is headed. Speaking of program that's headed in right direction and wrong directions, let's take Nebraska and Oregon. This Nebraska team, you know, I question the fit, and I love Mike Riley. I question the fit at Nebraska when he got the job. And, yes, it's a good fit in this sense. Great, classy, kind fan base. Great, classy, kind head coach. But this team does not play football like you'd expect a Nebraska team to play. Now, this Nebraska, I don't see ever getting back to where they're the dominant, you know, one of the top two, three dominant programs in the country. But to look like an average program to where there's, you know, 40 programs in the country that are better on a regular basis is not where Nebraska deserves to be, should be, and that's where they are right now. Oregon just completely toyed with them. Yes, they let them back in the game. That's going to happen with Oregon and their defense, but this Oregon offense just ran the football all over Nebraska. Nebraska has no semblance of defense. Their defensive personnel is not good enough to match up against explosive offenses. Willie Taggart's got this Oregon team playing very well. Good young quarterback. We broke that down, checked down our breakdown of that game and kind of where Oregon is up on the website. But they're going to be a bigger threat in the conference this year. Washington certainly good, but they'll give a Stanford and a Washington some trouble in the north of the Pac-12. Auburn-Clemson. First of all, let's talk about Clemson. Their offense is moving the football very well. Differently, more use of the quarterback in the running game. They're very athletic. I mean, they've got speed. They can run the football. May not be as effective passing the football. Certainly don't have a dynamic playmaker from the pocket as a passer. But they're very, very good. Defensively, boy, are they good. I mean, they're stifling. And they can play with anybody in the country. Loaded with talent, deep, can bring pressure, can cover. Auburn cannot get open. The problem I see with Auburn is this offense that Gus Malzahn has brought into the league a few years ago and had success. It had success because of the Nick Marshalls and predominantly Cam Newton. The power run tempo offense cause people problems. If they do not have that type of a quarterback, they have no chance of being successful offensively. They have no idea how to operate a passing game. They've got a quarterback in Jarrett Stidham that is running an offense which he's not equipped to run. Chip Lindsey's come over. It is not Chip Lindsey's offense. This is Gus Malzahn's offense with Chip trying to run it. This is a mess, and it may end up costing Gus Malzahn his job. This defense is very good. This Auburn defense played very well. They kept a very good Clemson offense in check and gave them a chance to win it. The offense gave them nothing. Auburn can't get open. They can't get the ball out on time. They have no passing attack. And that's the problem when you're a one-trick pony and as a coach, you know one system, one scheme, and you can't adjust to it. I think Gus is a bright coach, but I don't think he's an elite coach because elite coaches can adjust and morph and change, and he's not proven to be able to do it. We'll see if he can going forward, but it doesn't look bright, and they've got a few more L's coming on their schedule this year due to the Auburn Tigers. South Carolina was impressive against Missouri, as I thought they would if you got the breakdown this past weekend into the game. I think this South Carolina offense with Bentley gives them a real chance. And obviously with the great young receiver, South Carolina is making big-time plays downfield. And I think they're going to be a fun offense to watch all year long. Big play capabilities. Defensively, you see Wills getting his guys to play hard, well positioned. They're not there yet, but they're getting better and better. But Deebo Samuel is a special type of playmaker, and I think right now is as exciting a player as there is in the SEC, and is a guy that can cause a lot of trouble. And Missouri is, you see offensively them struggle in a game like this. They're not able to run the football well enough, and they're a bad defensive team. This Missouri team right now is the worst-looking team in the SEC, and they're going to have a hard time winning many games this week. LSU was impressive to a point against UT Chattanooga offensively. They needed a little more work in the screen game and the short passing game, but they're running the football well, and defensively they're just very, very good. I was very impressed by what Georgia was able to do against Notre Dame. This Georgia defense is starting to get special looking. Now, they do not have the depth to do all the things that Kirby wants to do, but they're really good. And they dominated this game against Notre Dame. And if not for mistakes that they made on their end, would have won this game going away. We're not able to do it. And had to hold on at the end and make big-time plays down the stretch. But they did it. They did it very, very well. And creating good pressures from different looks. Great job in coverage. Offensively, Georgia's not where they need to be. I thought Jake Fromm did a good job overcoming mistakes, but there were mistakes. There were drop balls. They were misrun routes. The spacing within the routes were not all that effective. There were mistakes, turnovers. They're ways away from being a good offense. But there's some youth there, and I think how much they improve there will determine how good of a season this can be. But it's a pretty good team. This Notre Dame team played well. I thought defensively they played well. They were the benefactor of some Georgia mistakes, no doubt, but they played well, and they moved the football well against Georgia. Couldn't quite get it done for a team that's lost two times and coaches on the hot seat. I understand it is chic to bash Brian Kelly and, you know, his arrogant way to approach things, but let me tell you, the guy's a good coach. And it is not easy to recruit at Notre Dame. The program, they're playing well. They are well coached. And we can't say that about some previous coaches that have been at Notre Dame. And, you know, this Notre Dame job, while it's got mystique and will always find a coach, it's not going to find the proven coach that the guy that is a proven guy that believes in winning championships. Quite frankly, you don't go to Notre Dame to win championships anymore. I mean, they are unlikely to get into that playoff mix. It was an anomaly what Brian did to get Notre Dame in the championship game, in the BCS championship game against Alabama a few years ago. They don't recruit like top 10 programs. Their standards are more difficult. And I think the best we can look is for them to have a program that's very much like a Stanford, which you can argue is a playoff caliber. They haven't been there. But they're close, and I think that's where Notre Dame could be. They're not there now, but I think Brian's doing a better job. Can he handle situations better? Can he sit there and stop with all the excuses? Yeah, I'd like him to handle things better, but this guy's a good football coach. Mississippi State, very curious to see, and we're going to break down the Mississippi State-LSU game on the website. Nick Fitzgerald, this offense, Todd Grantham's defense, don't like Mississippi State's chances against LSU, but I think they can play well. Did a pretty nice job against a Louisiana Tech offense that can move the football. So it was pretty nice performance, and we're going to get more into the Bulldogs in the LSU Tigers as the week goes along. The story of the day clearly was Oklahoma-Ohio State. in Baker Mayfield's performance. And, you know, we're going to start there. And we're going to start with what Oklahoma can do on offense with Baker Mayfield. And the real key in the game was, while Ohio State played well defensively for a stretch, the RPOs killed Ohio State. Baker Mayfield, with his play extensions, he got Ohio State's linebackers to read and find the ball late. And boy, that did that create spacing and coverage and open receivers and big-time plays, got the ball in the end zone, and what a fantastic performance that he put forth. Now, I think Oklahoma's defensive performance was good. How good? I thought they contained the run. We need to give them credit for that. Ohio State can run the football. Ohio State does not have a passing game to this point. And if that doesn't dramatically improve, this is going to be a disappointing year for Ohio State. They're going to win games, but they may lose another game. They may lose two more. That's going to be a disappointing year for a program that was expected to go to the playoffs. They're not a playoff team right now. Pure and simple, just not a good look offensively. And a lot of what JT Barrett can do at quarterback are some of the things that I'd like to see them do that Oklahoma does with Baker Mayfield. You've got the RPO, the run-pass options that I think can fit that offense. And I think it's really up to Urban and his offensive staff to figure this out, where they want to go offensively, because they're not a good enough passing team to beat really good teams. I don't like their chances against Penn State or Michigan at this point, but there's a ways to go, and we'll see how they develop during the course of the year. This Oklahoma team, how good are they? I think they're really good. Now, going forward, we'll see in a conference where there's going to be shootout-type games. There's always that chance if they drop a game. We'll see. But this is a really good team that, with the type of quarterback that can absolutely lead them into the playoffs, and what a great story that would be for him. And Lincoln Riley, it is right now Baker Mayfield, maybe leading contender for Heisman, and Oklahoma, maybe surprise team of the year thus far, and they deserve to be ranked in the top five where they are. One of the real surprises was the style in which USC beat Stanford. They physically controlled them at the line of scrimmage. Sam Darnold was outstanding, but they ran the football right at Stanford. We were able to move Stanford off the line of scrimmage. Defensively, I figured they'd have a good performance against Stanford. I didn't see Stanford being able to make enough explosive plays. This USC team is really good. Their depth is, something that we're going to need to see over the course of the season, how they manage. But I think they're really, really good, and I'm very, very impressed with their performance. Going to get in some games this weekend. It's a little bit of a soft schedule, but there's some interesting games. We're going to break down Tennessee, Florida. We're going to break down Clemson, Louisville, Texas, USC. We're going to have a little LSU, Mississippi State, Kentucky, South Carolina. But it's not a great, obviously, when you have a weekend as good as last week, this one's not going to be as good. But I definitely look at the shape of the national landscape of college football. It's still early, but we're starting to see some really good teams. But it starts with Alabama, and I'm very curious to see how some of these teams, which I've studied on tape, that look pretty good, but I want to see how they develop and how they progress, and maybe some of the other ones, how they might struggle. I will say I think West Virginia's a little better than I thought. Oregon's a little better than I thought. Ohio State is not as good as I thought. Those are some initial. Everything else is pretty much gone as expected to this point. So can't wait to consider Oregon. They started 12 freshmen and sophomores, three offensive linemen, quarterback. Justin Herbert is really good. The future's bright there. They've got a good future. Now, as we go forward, I'm very curious to see how they develop, how this season comes forward. Want to switch over to the NFL and talk a little bit about the weekend action there. And the thing that jumps out at me want to touch briefly on last Thursday night games, because we hadn't been on since then, the Chiefs' performance against New England. It says more about Kansas City than New England. New England will be fine. New England will still win their 13-14 games. Very surprised that they did not win or play well at home opening up the season after winning the championship last year. That is normally a formula for big-time success. It did not play out that way. Kansas City did a good job. When I broke down the tape, it very clear. They couldn't get pressure on Brady early. In fact, they got frustrated in this first half and backed into three-man pressures and tried to play coverage, and that didn't work. What they did a really good job of is adjusting their pressures and challenging their guys to get home with base pressure. And they did a good job with their zone looks to force the ball outside the numbers and beyond 25 yards. That's where you want to try to slow down Brady. And they did a very good job. On offense, the one thing that Andy Reid does very well is when he matches up against Belichick, he's had success of anticipating what Bill's going to try to take away and giving him something that he's not as prepared to take away. That was Kareem Hunt. Outstanding back from Toledo. Good vision, good balance, good quickness. He was a big factor in the game and played as well as you could possibly expect. Alex Smith was outstanding, sharp, played with an edge. Boy, just the drafting of Patrick Mahomes, if nothing else, may light a spark under Alex Smith that we've never seen before. But very impressive performance. Thought that, it's a great sign for them. I still think it's going to be a two-team race, Kansas City and the Raiders in the West. And I still think New England's going to win the East going away. So not much is going to be decided. And, with that game, other than really get New England a little bit angry and ready to go and get their season righted. So we'll see that. Buffalo and the Jets were not. I thought the Bills made a few more plays. They're a little better team, but not by a whole lot in this game. I thought Chicago, and we explained this in our breakdown, that the Bears would play this game well. They would play this game well defensively, and they did. They also played well on offense, and they had a chance to win this game, and probably to their viewpoint, they should have won the game. There were plays to be made down the stretch offensively from the quarterback position and from his receivers that would have put them over the top and pulled the upset over Atlanta. Atlanta didn't do a very good job defensively of controlling the Bears, except to the end when they came up with big-time plays and big-time moments. Four big plays on that last drive to really get off the field with a win. Very impressive performance. The Ravens, really think I underestimated this defense. This defense is really good-looking, and I know the Bengals didn't play well, but the Ravens had a lot to do with that. They can play this type of defense. They're going to be in this North race. And I kind of dismissed them a little bit, and that was incorrect. This defense is playing well on all three levels, but particularly their front were outstanding. Cincinnati in the red zone offensively continues to be a mess. Pittsburgh got a tough performance put on them by Cleveland. Thought the Browns played well. There are no moral victories in this league, but you can take a lot of positives if you're the Browns with this. Pittsburgh, the better team, find a way to make plays. That's what better teams do. They did it. I like what Detroit has in terms of their ability to come back and make plays. Galladay was outstanding. There's not a quarterback in the league that's brought his team from behind more successfully than Matthew Stafford. Problem is they're behind a lot because they're very inconsistent. I do believe that game was indicative of these two teams. I think Detroit is a better team than Arizona. I think they'll be a better team in Arizona all year long. But consistency with the Lions is what's frustrating when I watch them on tape. They play well in stretches to where they look to be the playoff type of team that they were last year, but they make a lot of mistakes. Going to be interesting to see how they build on this confidence. This Galladay kid, receivers, real deal. So we'll see. It was a good win for them, but sometimes they put themselves where they have to come from behind to win games that they could have put away a little bit earlier. The candidate for the biggest disappointment was the Houston Texans at home. their offensive line could not come close to blocking Jacksonville. It's a problem. It's a big problem. It's not the quarterback issue. It's the protection issue. That is the problem there, and they've got to get that fixed. If they don't get that fixed, it really doesn't matter a whole lot who they'll play at quarterback. I think that Deshaun Watson will probably get more of an opportunity, because if you can't block up front, you need a guy with a little more mobility. You're going to need to move the pocket. You're going to need to do some things formationally to get away from good pass rushes. Jacksonville is for real defensively up front. They can rush the passer. We've talked about how they've gotten this team better and better. They have. But I was impressed with how well they moved the football on offense and ran the football with Fournette, worked the passing game, and Houston was not prepared. Listen, I don't want to make too much of it. There are no excuses. We know that Houston and the folks there have had an awful time. This organization, this team has been a part of it. How much emotionally was spent, I don't know. But what I can tell you is that going forward, it's going to be quite a challenge, because this is kind of a stain game that, you know, we'll see what they're made of, and I think they'll respond. But the glaring concern, I think the defense will get better, but the area of their team that does concern me is the offensive line. I don't know how much better they will get. Thought the Raiders were impressive against Tennessee. Two teams that are built differently, one with a little bit more of a passing game, more speed. Tennessee's more of a line of scrimmage type team. Tennessee at home did some good things, but Oakland the better team. The ability to be able to attack them through the air, Derek Carr, was a big difference. Thought it was an outstanding performance, and as I mentioned, I think it's going to be a really good two-team race between Oakland and Kansas City throughout the remainder of the season. Philadelphia did a nice job against Washington. Washington struggled protecting the quarterback. He struggled from the quarterback play. They missed a lot of tackles on defense. Philadelphia just was a little cleaner in this game, and Carson Wentz was outstanding. Boy, the Indianapolis Colts bad without Andrew Luck. They are bad. I just don't have the time to go through the areas, go through the film breakdown on exactly what made them so bad in so many areas. But it was a disaster for them. The Rams, certainly with better quarterback coaching, a lot better looking offensive team. But again, we want to see that against a better performing team than the Colts. But I thought they did a really nice job in this game. Seattle Green Bay was interesting, a really good game defensively. I thought I was really impressed with how Green Bay played defensively in this game. I knew Seattle would play well. If Green Bay can stay healthy and play well defensively, they're going to be a real challenger. While Aaron Rodgers didn't light it up, we know what he's capable of doing. Seattle, again, struggled to block up front, and that's going to be a recurring theme. Carolina played well. San Francisco did not. This is not a very good offensive team at this point. Kyle Shanahan's trying a bunch of little things. Trying to be creative, but fundamentally they're not very good. I thought the Giants really struggled on offense. I was impressed by what Dallas did defensively. Rod Marinelli continues to do a phenomenal job of getting a lot out of this defense. You know, I've kind of said that I don't think this Dallas team defensively is good enough to go deep. But you know, I don't know. They're getting a little bit better, and I think I may. You know, and it's all part of watching and seeing how it develops. There's something to build on defensively for this Cowboy team. It was a good win for them, a must-win for them at home. Very, very impressive. Minnesota's another team that's very good defensively, and I think that they have a chance to be a playoff team and a threat in the playoffs if they can protect Sam Bradford like they did against the Saints. Yeah, the Saints are bad defensively. They continue to be bad defensively, but if you protect Bradford, he can make plays, and Dalvin Cook was simply outstanding. This is a good Viking team. They're better than the Saints. There's no question about it. In every area, they're better. The Saints, the thing that jumps out at me, and it continues to jump out at me, is how they're focused on running the football, but then they come game time, they're not. Sean Payton always has the itch to be able to attack in the passing game, to find that mismatch. That's his genius. But if they are not patient with the running game, they have no chance of being successful this year. None. This defense is not going to be good enough. The Saints' formula to win is to be able to get a lead, be be able to run the football with balance, protect the defense, and have the defense fresh come out, play an opposing offense that's one-dimensional, playing from behind, and getting off the field. That's their formula. Without that, they have no chance of winning. They're a 7-9 team again, any way you look at it. Drew Brees, you know, I think that they struggled in the red zone, and I think the play of the receivers were poor in this game. They had three times in the red zone, and it came up with three field goals. That can't happen. That's not Saints offensive football. They scored their normal amount of points, then they're in it, got a chance to win it. But, you know, again, when you're so built on offense, you've got to score a lot of points, but then you've got to be able to run the football. And I thought they got away from the run a little bit early. Once you get down double digits, your game plan is abandoned in this league, and you become pass first. That's just the way it is, and that will continue to be the case if the Saints start off slow. So starting off good is pivotal, and boy, they're going to run into a buzzsaw against the Patriots, be 0-2. Saints are looking again towards another sub-500 type year. Thought Denver did some good things in stretches against the Chargers defensively. You know, Denver's defense is not the same type of defense. They still can get after the quarterback in stretches. The secondary is still good, but you saw Phillip Rivers come from behind. The defense was put on the field way too much with turnovers. I worry about this Bronco offense being consistently good, protecting the football well enough. That's going to be their downfall. I think the Broncos are going to have a good year. If you think, you know, getting around 500 is good, that's where I see them maybe a tad better. I don't see them as a playoff caliber team. Neither do I see the Chargers as a playoff caliber team, but I thought Denver did a nice job and certainly was impressed at home. I thought they would win the game, but I thought it was going to be more the type of game that it was, with maybe getting out to 7-10 points, but the inability to protect that lead at home, the inability to protect the football, run the football well with the lead, is part of the concern that I have with the Broncos going forward and why I think they may struggle a little bit. All right, folks, that'll wrap it up for today. I want to really thank our folks at RadioInfluence.com. Those folks who are in Florida as they produce this podcast and make it sound very nice for you, they were hit hard by the storms in Florida, and the fact that they're able to get this podcast up for you is a credit in and of itself. So thank them for all their hard work, and we certainly wish and pray for good results for everyone in the Florida, Texas area, all that have been affected by the storm. So on Thursday, we'll break down the key college matchups and obviously look ahead to the NFL and keep you up to date on everything that's going on in the world of football on LandryFootball.com. We'll talk to you then.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.